Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, October 26, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 94, the second paragraph, starting with, "Your candidate may give reasons," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps Rhonda R., 12 Traditions Terry H. Reader of the text is Dana P. Stephanie L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Eileen M. The reference number for Monday, October 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,977. That's 17977. And for this morning, Tuesday, October 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 17981. That's 17,981. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Dawn. Hello, everyone. I'm Rhonda R., grateful recovered compulsive eater from Georgia and in Portland, Maine today. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for your service, Dawn. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of Team Tuesday in October.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service and all that you do. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, and it's great to be back. I'm grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups of OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on the October Tuesday team. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 94, the second paragraph, Your Candidate May Give Reasons, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Dana P. here in California. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Wow, thank you so much, and thanks to everyone who's been doing service this month. I feel that Tuesday is a very special day for me especially, and I just want to say again and repeat it again how important you are, whoever you are that is new or fairly new. You are the most important person in the room, and this paragraph speaks to that. Your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all the program. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussion with other people. Do not contradict such views. Tell him you once felt as he does, but you doubt whether you would have made much progress had you not taken action. On your first visit, tell him about the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If he shows interest, lend him a copy of your book. Yeah, I can only really relate my own experience, strength, and hope. Prior to getting into this program, boy, I had a lot of good ideas about what other people should do, right? That was really my nature. You should do this and you should do that, and this is what I think you should do. And the truth is, I recognize this part where it says, he may rebel at the thought, oh my God, everything in my life was about rebellion. Whatever you told me, I was going to contradict that. And even if it was the correct thing to do, I would contradict that and fight against it. And seriously, like, that is one of the promises we cease fighting anything or anyone. And I've fulfilled that promise, or God's fulfilled that promise for me. And then it talks about this drastic house cleaning. So he's making all these quote unquote reasons, which to me are, that says fear. And he's making these reasons, you know, but he's already at step four. But my experience of that was, yeah, I was freaking petrified. Are you kidding? Looking at it, looking at myself, and then sharing all that with another person, I mean, that was scary. My sponsor, she never said anything about what I needed to do or what I didn't need to do. She gave me suggestions, and then she let me stew with it. Pardon the food pun, but really, you know, if you turn on the heat too high, too fast, things burn. It burns, and it's nasty. If you sit it on to simmer, it comes into this beautiful, beautiful stew that is savory and rich. And that's what my life has become as a result of this program. You know, all of you and my fellows, you're just all in there together in this beautiful, rich, savory way. It's amazing. So I talk to somebody, I give them a few suggestions about things to do, and I say, get back to me if you want to hear some more. And get back to me and share what you learned. I would love to hear your story. And I do share about the book and that first 164 pages, but mostly just kind of focusing on step one, because we want to get ahead of ourselves. And I certainly did. That's one of my character defects, which by the grace of God is really, really being lifted from me in a beautiful way, that impatience. So I just love this paragraph, and I'm excited to hear what other people have to say. So I'll pass with that. Dawn, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Kelly H.
Kelly H.
Donna B.
Donna B. Who else would like
Tamara
to share?
D.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Gotcha, Tamara.
Kara L.
Kara L. Okay, let's get started with the that lineup. We have Kelly H.
Wendy M.
Okay, Wendy, I'll put you on there as well. Okay, so I have Kelly H., Donna B., Tamara C., Kara L., and Wendy M. Good morning, Kelly. Please get us started. And if you'd like, please share the state or country that you're calling from so those who wish to may contact you from our member list. Good morning, Kelly.
Sure. Good morning. This is Kelly H. I'm calling from North Carolina. And this paragraph is kind of cracking me up a little bit. I entered program December 21st, 2020, and have had an excellent 2021 because I was in program. But one of the things after having a lifetime of trying to diet and having moderate success or temporary success and then gaining all the weight back, was all of that led to a desperation, which of course led me to the right mentality to join a program like this. But I'm cracking up at my own expense a little bit, because when I joined the little OA group in the library via Zoom, it was a very strange experience. And then I found a sponsor in that meeting who turned me on to a vision for you. And I was like, I was desperate, so I was ready to do a drastic house clean. I was ready to do that. But the world has told me that when you have a problem, never just talk about the problem to your spouse, to your boss, to your pastor, to whoever. You should have the problem in mind, but then have the solution in mind as well. That way you get the golden star for coming up with a solution, and you get the successful reputation of being the problem solver. Well, that didn't work in my sponsor relationship. And while I was desperate, I had a solution in mind. I had a diet program. I had the plan that I was going to follow, and I was just going to tell my sponsor what I was going to do. And this is how she was going to be needed. this was the time she was going to be required to have with me in order to follow through. And then she just told me, get rid of it. And that I actually had to call a nutritionist and get a plan. So that was my particular circumstance. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but in my journey, that was what was needed. And with the desperation came the freedom of enjoying a solution that was not of my making. It was my participation and my daily abeyance of it. And I'm just so grateful because in that process, I experienced such a freedom of solution making. I still remember my desperation, but the freedom of release and control was just, I can't even describe what a gift that also has been. And I'm always struggling to find sponsees and keep them, but that's the journey I want to help somebody find because I'm living it now. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly H. from North Carolina. And now we'll have Donna B. share with us, followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Gosh, I've so enjoyed the last couple of shares. I'm so looking forward to hearing all the shares that are still yet to come. When I listened to the reading of the paragraph, the first thought that struck me is that the steps are in order for a reason, and we work the steps as they are outlined. So there's no need to contradict views or have lengthy discussions about, you know, the ninth step when you're only in the first step. So that was one thing that struck me. The other thing that really struck me is that in capital letters, it says the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is really a distinction from the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a distinction from the program of action that's outlined in the book. The fellowship is the community, the support, the love and camaraderie that's made available through the human beings that we travel this journey with. And so this paragraph also reminds me that I'm not alone and that I can also reassure my sponsees and the people that I work with that they're not alone. We don't have to do this journey by ourselves, and there are so many people that we can lean on. And as I take sponsees through the work, I have opportunities in which I say, okay, call a recovered person at this point in the step work. Call a newcomer at this point in the step work. Hey, these are your litter mates. These are all the sponsees that I'm working with at once. You guys should get together. You guys should form your own God squad. And I joke, especially because one day you're going to have to do a 10th step about me. And these are the perfect people to do it with. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Tamara C., will you share with us now, followed by Kara L.? Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn and everyone. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Team Tuesday, and everyone who helps this meeting be possible. I'm Tamara C., in California. I'm so grateful to be here and to be recovered today. I was really scared of this drastic house cleaning and the thought of discussing it with other people. And I think one reason I was so frightened of it is because I had this faulty idea that the defects in me were unacceptable, that my mistakes, my errors, and my harm that I had caused were just so unacceptable to my higher power and to me, and that they would be to others. And so the thought of discussing, looking at them and discussing them was a really scary thought. But I heard other people say that this action was necessary for their recovery. and I wanted recovery desperately. I came to the place where I was more afraid of the pain of my miserable disease. So I became willing to do this house cleaning. And I went through the steps, and when I got to the house cleaning part, I was helped by several things. The main thing is the experience and guidance of others. I didn't have to do it alone, and I didn't have to figure out how to do it alone, as others have said. And I was helped greatly by the directions in the big book, especially when I discovered this vision phone meeting and heard the discussion of the big book instructions. That was a big help to me. I was helped also by the set-aside prayer, a version of the set-aside prayer that someone sent me, which was something like, God, help me to set aside what I think I know for a new experience. Help me to face and be rid of the things in me which block me from you, myself, and others. Show me the truth and give me the list. And that just kind of took this pressure off of me that I have to figure out what is supposed to be in my house cleaning. And so, and then helped by my higher power, even though I was still in the process of developing a relationship with my higher power, I was not alone. And my higher power was there giving me the strength and courage to be uncomfortable for the sake of healing. And this house cleaning turned out to be such a gift, clearing a path to a new relationship with a higher power and the promises. And so I continue to do it today. I continue to watch, uncover, go to God, discuss it with recovered fellows, make amends, and share my experience, strength, and hope with others. So I learned this skill set going through the steps, and now I get to practice it in all my affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from California. Now, Kara L., will you share with us, followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Kara L., recovered and compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Thank you to all my fellows who are doing service on the meeting today and bringing it to us. I love this paragraph. You hear me say that all the time. I was just having a fond memory of when I most recently worked the steps again. And it came to me. It wasn't a planned thing. It came to me out of the blue. And I found myself asking a fellow, please take me through the steps again. And she said, yes. And then when we first started working together, I put on all these why I need not do things that she was asking me to do. And I remember her saying to me, well, maybe this isn't a good time for you to do this. And it was so sweet and kind. And it was, you know, it gave me the example, but she didn't contradict my views, right? She just said, maybe this isn't the best time, which did inflare my ego, by the way, and said, no, of course this is the best time, you know, because I was still in a lot of self. And, but in that moment, I was able to lay aside those views and work the steps and have a spiritual experience and grow in my connection with my higher power. And so I love when it says, tell them you felt once, you know, you once felt as he does. And that's just it. I need to share that, you know, to get to where I am today, it wasn't always an easy road. And that my ego was in my way, and my hubris, and my need to feel enough was in my way. My need to have the answers was in my way. And it says, but you doubt whether you would have made such progress had you not taken action. And I can see that now that I'm farther down the path, now that I'm through what I needed to go through. But I didn't know that when I was making those demands and those prestations and whatnot. So, you know, and it's a beautiful thing when I can share, you know, how I struggled. And I can find identity with another and hope to help another, just as another person shared how they struggled with me and helped me, you know, see that there was hope. And that's why I love this paragraph. And I'll pass. Thank you, everyone. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. And now we'll have Wendy M. share. But before she shares, I want to announce that we are on page 94, the second paragraph, starting with "Your candidate may give reasons." And we're commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. And thank you so much, Wendy M. Go ahead and share with us, please. Star one. There we go.
Yeah. Thanks, Dawn, so much.
Sure.
I'm Wendy M., recovering in this program as a compulsive overeater. And thank you, God, that I'm a compulsive overeater, because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be with all of you on this beautiful passage. And this is, you know, divinely inspired passage, as are all the passages. These are miracles. And Dawn, thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line. So what I like to say is this is not a convincing game, right? I'm not selling anything, because can you imagine when you get here and somebody comes to you and says, I've got something to sell you, and it goes exactly like this. That's the last thing as an addict I would ever want somebody to do. I remember somebody before the program, it was a relative, came around and held my belly from the back, like they were behind me. Held my belly, right? Can you imagine? That's not going to convince me to go to Overeaters Anonymous. That's just going to put me in a whole boatload of shame, which it did, you know. But I do remember that somebody cared, you know, somebody, and it was probably God who cared. So, and what I want to say is, you know, if I'm working with a candidate and they, and I do contradict their views and I do want them to do it exactly the way I do it, that's because I'm in a bunch of fear. You know, I'm still in self. I'm still in Wendy's world. Like, what do you mean you're not going to do it exactly? It says here, he need not follow all of the program. Excuse me, there's a lot of noise. Hold on. Okay. It says here, God has a sense of humor. It says here, yeah, he need not follow all of the program. You know, when I'm first sponsoring, that's going to leave a pit in my stomach really quickly. Because if I'm feeling insecure, if I think I'm sponsoring the person, then yes, they have to do it exactly the way I did it. And if they're eating something I didn't eat or whatever it is, like I'm in trouble really quickly. But that's because I think I'm sponsoring the person, and I'm not. God is sponsoring this human being. This is all about God's, you know, this is God. It's just all God. All I'm doing is letting them know what I did and what worked for me. And frankly, that's the only thing they're interested in, right? The minute that they see this works for this person, they're interested. They're nodding their head profusely, right? But we don't contradict their views. And I have to tell you, like, I was so excited doing Vision about 6 years ago when I first landed here. And it's all I talked about in the meetings. And people weren't really buying it. Like, I felt like I was selling because I was so excited, right? Don't contradict my views. Pick up the big book. But the point is, I don't know what people need, whether it's sponsoring or anything else. Like, let's say I'm at the table with my ex-husband. Don't contradict his views, right? I don't know anything. That's the point.
Time.
I don't know anything. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We are on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Robin P.
Robin P.
Sherry
M. Deb E.
I heard Deb E. And who else did I miss there?
Christy M.
Christy M.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. Okay, I've got Robin P., Deb E., Christy M., and Sherry H.M. Go ahead, Robin. Please share with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. And just everybody who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. You know, I'm sponsoring somebody right now who literally went through that. And I feel that it's, you know, and it's, I'm so grateful that I know enough these days to just be so gentle and just, you know, keep the focus on myself. Like, oh, you know, I felt like that, just like what it says in the book, you know, and the things that I've noticed that I resisted myself are the things that I needed to do. You know, like, oh, I don't really need to do that, is actually the thing that really propels me in my recovery. And so I'm so grateful that I get to see that mirrored in other people. And it's such a great reminder. And always working with others helps me so much. And I'm so blessed. And they're literally some of my favorite meetings, moments of the day, is getting to watch someone else grow spiritually and stay abstinent and begin to recover when they were in such dire straits. And it's don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. And also I've noticed so much, you know, I was listening to somebody talk yesterday, and, you know, he was saying he was having all these issues, like he needed a job, he needed more money. And someone said, go work with another sponsee. And he said, what? You know, and he worked with another sponsee and everything took care of itself. You know, I feel like this is a spiritual program. We get to have spiritual solutions and get out of ourselves. And, you know, we're going through something here in Costa Rica and with upcoming mandates, and which were very unexpected, and which is why we were here. And now we're getting to make some new choices. And, you know, what's my spiritual solution? Go make an outbound call, an outreach call, and get out of myself, and just be of service. And God's got us. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from beautiful Costa Rica. Now, Deb E., will you share with us, followed by Christy M.? Good morning, Deb.
Hi, good morning. It's Deb E., calling in from Israel, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I can't help but think of the slogan that we have, take what you want and leave the rest behind, with this paragraph. And I know that often that slogan is referred to as a negative thing, like that's the worst thing to say to an addict. They're just not going to do anything. But that's exactly the slogan that made me stay in the beginning. I was so defiant and I was so not open. I was open enough to come to a meeting and come back again and come back and come back. But I was so against, I was just not open to all the suggestions. And for me, what that slogan did was that it allowed me to go, okay, well, I don't have to listen to everything they say. I can just listen to what I want. And I can see how that can go really badly and lead to not recovering for most people. But what happened for me was that it allowed me to kind of like tiptoe in and go, oh, maybe I'll do this. And sort of think like as if I was in charge. But what was happening was that I was allowing my higher power in, and my higher power was in charge, but my brain and ego wanted to think that I was in charge. And so absolutely without, you know, help, but you doubt whether you would have made much progress had you not taken action. That is absolutely true. There's no way I would be recovered today if I had not taken action. And I started taking action quite quickly. But in those first like weeks and months where I was just kind of just still so much in the food fog, so much in the disease and the self-righteousness of like, don't tell me what to do, that kind of attitude. It was what allowed me, you know, nobody pushed it on me. They just welcomed me. And it kind of, that's what disarmed me. And that's what allowed me to start doing more and more. And over the course of more than 2 decades now, I've just consistently added more and more and more to my spiritual practice. And if you had told me back in the beginning that I would be doing what I do now on a daily basis to recover, I would have thought that you were crazy. You know, I would have thought there's no way I'm ever going to do that. But I do it and I continue adding to it. Like with pleasure, like it's something I want to do. It's something I enjoy, like going deeper and trying more and more to foster that relationship with my higher power. And how can I bring it in? How can I do more service? And how can I help the next compulsive overeater recover too? And yeah, so that's all I have to share for today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Now, Christy M., will you share with us, followed by Sherry H. M., and then I'll be taking a few more names. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., gratefully recovering bulimic in Oregon. And this paragraph really makes me go back to what it felt like to be a newcomer in the rooms. And what brought me to the rooms was, you know, a desperation to be free from my eating disorder. But I think in the beginning, we have this really weird dichotomy with our compulsive overeating or problems with food, that in one sense, it's something that we're desperate to get rid of, and that's what brings us to OA. And in another sense, it has become our coping mechanism with life. And as destructive and dysfunctional as it is, it's the comfort. It's the way we deal with stuff that's overwhelming, that's too much. And as much as I wanted to be free of my eating disorder, I was also terrified of what I was going to do without it. And it just brings me back to that place of fear of what it's like to be the newcomer, and why it, looking at this new way of life and the things that it's going to take, can feel overwhelming. It can feel scary. As much as I want to be free, I'm also terrified to get rid of, you know, my comfort, to get rid of my coping mechanism when I don't have anything to replace it yet. And I just, it brings me back to those first few months of abstinence, of how hard it is and how uncomfortable it is, because I'm giving up my coping mechanism, but I haven't developed anything in its place. And it's just this raw, uncomfortable place to be. And this willingness to get through that period of time before you've acquired your new skills and you're letting go of this old way, I just felt like I was an emotional basket case all the time. Like, I was reacting, I was feeling all these emotions that I had been numbing for so long, and I had no coping mechanisms to deal with the flood of emotions I was having, and I just felt like I was on this roller coaster. So it just brings me back to that place of when someone's showing up to this room, of like, what they're really facing is, it is a hard time. It is a very difficult thing too. It's a lot to ask of someone, and it can cause rebellion. It can cause fear. So I think in the beginning and working with newcomers, it's just important to remember that there's going to be a lot of emotions. It's going to be a lot of fear. And this idea of the fearful of this inventory, like, who wants to do that? Who wants to not only give up all of your coping mechanisms and things that you use to deal with life, but then I really have to look at myself. And I think another place I came to in the beginning is I blamed, you know, circumstances. I blamed other people. Thanks, and I'll wrap up. And it's hard to look at yourself and look at your part in situation. And that's something that, you know, it's something I get to continue to do in my program. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Christy M. from Oregon. And now Sherry M., will you share with us, please, this morning? And then I'll take a couple more names. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H. M., gratefully recovered from Washington State. I'm so grateful for this program and so grateful for 7 years of abstinence and neutrality with food. I love how it says that the candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all of the program. And I remember thinking that kind of thing as well. And they can rebel at house cleaning, but yet don't contradict such views, because you felt that same way. And I know that, you know, I can only share that one of the chapters is called A Solution, you know, explaining that there's a solution that thousands and thousands of people have, you know, had success with this one particular solution that it tells in the book. But I know I can't control people, places, or things, and it's not my job. And just, I remember a shifting from myself, from, like they say in this program, the whole yes, but, to yes, ma'am. That, okay, now I have eaten the gift of humble pie, even though I don't eat sweets, humble pie. is always on my food plan. So anyway, my job is just to shine the light on the big book and so, you know, close to their higher power. So I'm very grateful for you guys, and I've missed you. I haven't been here for a while. So thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. Sherry H.M. from Washington. Thank you so much. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We're sharing on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons. So we value your experience, but we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us today?
Jody E.
Mary Ellen T.
Jody E. And was that Mary Ellen?
Yes.
Okay, Mary Ellen. And what was your initial?
T, like tango.
Very good. Jody E. and Mary Ellen T. Go ahead. Thank you, Jody. Share with us, please.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Thank you, everyone, for your service. So I don't need to contradict the views of my sponsee. That's a freedom. That's a blessing that I don't have to contradict anybody. I can let people have their opinions. I don't need to convince them. Their disease will convince them. Maybe they're not ready. Maybe they need to go out and do a little bit more research and decide whether or not they're a real compulsive overeater. And if they are, they will come back, perhaps, and ask me again, or someone else will ask me to help them. I don't have to be promoting this program. My focus needs to be on my own recovery so that I can be an attraction to the program. I need to remember that I need to work these 12 steps thoroughly. And if I do, great events will come to pass for me and countless others, as it says in our closing reading. I can lend him a copy of this book. I can tell him about the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. I can tell them about this particular meeting, which has been so helpful to me. I can share my experience, strength, and hope, but I don't have to cajole or plead or argue with anybody. I don't have to fight with anybody anymore. It's such a freedom, such a blessing. It's a spiritual program, and God or the universe will do the convincing. So that's nice. I don't like to contradict people. I don't want to. I just need to do my work, and great events will come to pass. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. And now, Mary Ellen T., will you share with us this morning?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mary Ellen, and T is in tango, and I live in Oregon. And I'm just so grateful that there's a big book and that there's people that have modeled for me along the way, because I haven't been real willing over these years to do everything that's been suggested to me by my sponsors. You know, I didn't want to weigh and measure. You know, I came in listening to people talking about weighing and measuring. I was a little horrified, and I thought, I don't have it as bad as you guys do. And, you know, I came to find out that I do have it as bad as you guys do. And I didn't really understand the depth and the breadth in which this disease runs within me. It was really evident that there was some some real obvious food ingredients that I struggled with, and those were like the first class contenders, and I knew that was the issue. I didn't want to believe that there was other foods that that I struggled with, and that they were going to be a problem for me. And so, by my sponsors, you know, modeling for me and listening to people in meetings, being able to model for me about what their experience is. You know, I was able to slowly let go of my ego and develop more and more willingness to do what other people have done that has been successful for them. And so, you know, now I weigh and measure my food and I report my food. And, you know, those are just some of the first steps of getting myself ready for having that spiritual experience and needing to have that willingness. So, you know, that's kind of what the big book talks about through all these chapters is the basic tenets of, you know, I've got to be honest, I've got to be open-minded, and I've got to be willing. And, you know, how is it that the current struggle of the day, the struggle du jour, how is that, you know, how am I being honest and open and willing? And, you know, what I love about this paragraph and, you know, other people have shared with me is that this book is full of relationship ideals. And it says in here that that I'm not to contradict. And it kind of says that in other places, you know, that I cease fighting. And, you know, that is like one of the biggest gifts I could just pray for is, you know, is that I develop this attitude where I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing with what other people are sharing with me. And that I can just sit back and I can listen and I can be grateful for people being able to share their experience and strength and hope with me. And that goes beyond just being in these meetings. And this is a world that's so full of contention and finger pointing. And I don't have to be a part of that anymore. I can just listen. And I don't have to disagree with anybody. And that's what everybody has modeled for me. And that's what the words in this big book have modeled for me. And I'm just so grateful that I can learn to start zipping my mouth and stop telling people what to do, but just start showing by example. And that's it. I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. We have time for a one-minute share. So is there someone who has not shared in the last 3 days who has a desire to share with us for 1 minute?
Liz A.
Liz A.
Please.
Okay, yeah, I heard Liz first, so please come back, Lynn, tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you tomorrow. Thank you. Go ahead, Liz.
Thank you so much. This is Liz A. from Michigan, and I have not shared in quite some time, so I won't say much, but what keeps rolling around in my brain, and I'm sorry if it's not couth, is if you pass, it's your ass. So I've been stepping up my game since I got on division, and I had become complacent. The other thing I heard today and that resonates with me is that my coper was broken, and that was food was my primary coping mechanism, and that failed at some point. So I just need to keep coming back and do the next right thing. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from Michigan. And Lynn, please, would love to hear your share. Please come back tomorrow. We're now going to close the meeting from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.